talk about how is your eyesight? What are you focused on in your life? We are resuming back our series that we've been doing on the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are actually Jesus is teaching his disciples. The young men are gathered on a hillside with him near the Sea of Galilee, and a multitude of people are gathered there with them. But Jesus is teaching them some very practical things about life and how they should live as they follow Christ. And he's even preparing them for after he is gone at the time. But as we do that this morning, I want to remind you that God is our Savior. God is our source, Christ is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our strength. Let me say that again. God is our source, Christ is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our strength. We're doing this series entitled A Christ Life because Jesus is giving very practical daily instruction to these young men as his disciples. And the crowd that is gathered there is hearing it as well. We've already learned about the Beatitudes, the way that we are supposed to live when we are walking with Christ. We also learn from Christ that as believers, we should be salt and light in the world. We should make a difference for him because of who he is, not because of who we are. He also came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, not to wipe out the law, but in fact, he fulfills it. We also have seen through our study that as we gather from Jesus' teaching, our heart matters. The way that our heart is before the Lord matters. If we're not walking with him the way we should, then our actions are going to reflect that. He addressed the heart matters of adultery and divorce, of oaths or making promises and what that means. He also taught us to love one another, and that comes from our heart. He also teaches us about giving, prayer. We also learned about forgiveness. We also have learned about fasting. Do it to be in God's presence, not to be noticed by others. Again, our heart matters to God as we desire to live for him. So we continue with that same idea, that same theme this morning as we pick up our series in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. Jesus is continuing to teach, and this is what he says in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The religious leaders of the day, we've learned from history, they taught and they lived that the more righteous that they were, the more God would bless them. That's the prosperity gospel. If the more things that I do for God, the more that he's going to do for me. Now, that's not biblical because there are other scriptures that say many are the afflictions, the challenges of those who are living rightly before God. But God delivers him out of them all. So scripture doesn't promise that if I live a certain way for God, then he's going to bless my checkbook. He's going to give me a bigger house and a better car. It's not in there. Because he does say that those who live for them, they will deal with affliction. They will deal with challenges. But as you walk with God, he will help you through those. So the thought that I want us to grab a hold of this morning in this section of scripture is that we are to care for the things that God gives us. We are not supposed to clutch on to them. The stuff in our lives God has blessed us with, and let's be honest, most of us, God has given us more than just food, shelter, and clothing. For many of us, God has taken care of many of our wants, not just what we need. We are, if you're not sure about that, move. I mean, pack up your house and move. You will decide very quickly that you have way too much stuff. Stuff in the attic, stuff in the garage, stuff in closets and dressers that you haven't seen in years, but it's all there somehow. It's your stuff. If you're not convinced that you have too much stuff, invite your friends over to help you move. They will tell you that you have too much stuff. Maybe not to your face. Some of them will. They will tell you. We all got a lot of stuff. That's not a problem in our world. But for many of us, our focus is wrong. We treasure that stuff more than we do our relationship with God or even the things of God. And Jesus addresses that. Look with me again at verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth." What is a treasure? The word treasure here literally means that whatever is of value to you, that you desire to keep safe. So you may treasure something that I don't treasure. In your house, your spouse may treasure something that you don't treasure. But you treasure something that your spouse doesn't treasure. Because what is of value to you that you desire to keep safe is a treasure. It's an earthly possession, something that you have. Last night I was thinking about this message, and when I got home, I turned on the TV like some of you and saw the warnings of the severe thunderstorm watch that was in our area, all of this area. And on the screen it was saying, prepare for 70 mile an hour winds and very large hail, and move your cars inside and get all your furniture off the porch and all those kind of things. And I began thinking, of course, I didn't do any of that, but it didn't even rain at our house, I don't think. But I started to think about it in regards to this. What would I grab in our house if something happened to our house and I had to get out quickly? In other words, what's of value to me in the house? Some of you have experienced that. Some of us have been through floods. Some of you have been through a house fire or some other kind of catastrophe. And you've had to react in a moment and figure out what is important to me. What earthly possession, what do you treasure that you would grab that's of great value to you that you'd be afraid to lose? Is it something physical? Is it something that's sentimental to you? Is it some memory, some box of memory of your kids or your grandkids? Or what is of importance to you that you would value in a crisis of a moment? Jesus says here, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, because that's where moth, animals can destroy it. Rust can get up, can destroy something. It can tear it up. Thieves can even break in and steal it, and it changes the value for you of that. So if you don't have it anymore, then you can't value it. You can't keep it safe. So stuff can be destroyed. The idea of destroying here is whatever negatively affects the value. Something can destroy it, or something can happen to it that takes the value away from you sentimentally or whatever you are valuing. It says don't store up. Don't place something away for safekeeping that's all dealing with earthly stuff. Does this mean God doesn't want you to have anything? No. He's given you that stuff. But what do you focus on with the stuff that he's given you, the earthly things? Do you clutch onto it? Or do you just care for it? Are you willing to give it away if God tells you to give it away? Look at verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Are you and I more focused on our earthly stuff? Or on things of eternal value? Do you care more about your family being saved and knowing Christ as Lord and Savior? Or do you care more about leaving them a financial legacy behind? What are we focused on? Where's our heart? What do we treasure the most? What's of value to us? What are we trying to keep safe? It says here that we need to focus, if we're believers, we need to focus on the eternal stuff. You've heard it said before, but there are no U-Hauls attached to a hearse. There's not. We don't get to take anything with us. If God took you home today, the only thing of value to you that you can take with you in eternity is your relationship with him. The only legacy that you and I truly leave behind is anything of eternal value. Are we leaving behind? Do the people behind us know that having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the most important thing? Again, nowhere does he say you can't have anything. But what do you and I value? What do we take care of? What are we focused on? If all I'm focused on is the stuff that I can leave behind, then I'm missing the eternal aspect of my relationship with God. God gives us things to enjoy. He's clear about that in Scripture. He gives us earthly possessions to enjoy. But again, are you and I clutching on to them? What if God told you to give something away today that you value? Oh, we'll all give away something that we don't value, something that's in our closet that we don't care anything about, in the garage we could care less about. We haven't used it in forever. You want that? Okay, fine. But what if it's something that you truly value, that God asked you to give away? Look at what he says in verse 21. For where your treasure is, that which you value, that's what you try to keep safe, there will your heart be also. Your heart is the center of who you are. It's not just that organ beating inside your chest, pushing blood all over your body that keeps you alive. It's who you are. It's your personality. Listen to another story that's probably familiar to you that Jesus shares in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 18, that also asks us to challenge, it challenges us with where is our focus. Listen to Luke 18, beginning in verse 18. And a certain ruler questioned him, Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, the things impossible with men are possible with God. Was Jesus saying that a condition of his salvation was to give everything away? No. Jesus knew where his heart was. Remember the verse we just read in Matthew 6, 21? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, are you and I clutching on to things? Or are we willing to give those things away? Jesus asked that man if he'd be willing to sell all of his possessions. Would he be willing to do that? And it's not. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you got to sell everything to inherit eternal life. That's not the point of that message. Jesus knew his heart. Salvation is only offered through believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, is clear about that. But this man's focus was on his stuff. He went away sad because he had lots of possessions. Are you and I willing to give away what we have? When I went to college, my dad made it clear to my brother and I that we were not going to take a car with us to our first year of college. He wasn't allowed to take one. We weren't allowed to take a car. We could buy one. We still had to leave it at home in the driveway. So there was no sense in buying a car until after my freshman year in college. He wanted us to go to college, stay there, enjoy being in college, get to know people, get rides with other people, figure it out. He didn't want us having our independence through a car, so we weren't allowed to take a car. Now, when my sister came along, everything changed, but that's a whole nother story. I should have left that out. So both my brother and I, we both worked in high school. We both worked in our first year of college. I saved up money. I came home after my freshman year in high school, and I bought a car. I bought a used Toyota Camry. It was my car. Now, it was a used car, but it was my car. I kept it clean. I washed it all the time. I made sure that people who got in it treated it similarly the way that I did, or you weren't riding with me. It was very important. I drove that my whole second year of college, my sophomore year, and I came home after my sophomore year. There was some work that needed to be done on the car. I took it to a mechanic. I went to pick it up a couple of days later, and as I'm walking up, I notice a piece of trim up under the front of it that is bent. Now, that was not bent, because I know every inch of that car. It was not bent when I brought it to him. So I pointed it out. He said, oh, no, no, we didn't do that. There's no way we did that. No, you did that. He refused to do anything about it, and I didn't do anything about it. It was a piece of the car. But it changed for me after that, the value of that car to me. All it was a piece of trim that nobody else would have noticed but me, because it was my car and I paid attention to those details. But now that it was damaged in a small way that didn't affect anything about the car driving or its ability to take me from point A to point B and then back home again, if that was my desire, it did change my understanding of the value of that car in my head, because it had been damaged, it had been changed in a way that I hadn't wanted it to be changed. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. God is our source, Christ is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our strength. Continue with me in Matthew 6, verse 22. Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So Jesus continues this teaching, follows the same logic that where your heart is, your treasure also is. He's talking here about eyesight. One of our men recently, a couple of months ago, had some surgery to correct eyesight. After he had both eyes done, he was telling us how dramatically different his eyesight was. All the way back in as a child, his eyes had been affected, and now this surgery allowed him to see things more clearly. He was seeing colors that he had never seen before. He was seeing things more clearly than he had ever seen before. And it affected everything about his attitude of what he could now see that he just couldn't see before because his eyes were bad. But now that his eyes were affected, it affected everything about his attitude towards life. The way we view money affects every single area of our life. The way we view stuff, earthly possessions, affects every other area of our life. I believe what Jesus is teaching here using the idea of eyesight is God gives us good things, and if we use them for good, that's good. It affects us. But if we use them for bad, then that's evil. That's what he says here in verse 22 and 23. If your eye is bad, he says in verse 23, your whole body will be full of darkness. God gives us money. He's the one who came up with that. He has all kinds of principles in this book, the Bible, and every one of them are true related to money. But you and I don't have to follow those principles. We can do what we want to. If we choose to do what we want to and we don't use it the way God says, then it will radically affect every area of our life. If we choose to use it for good, it'll also affect every area of our life. He gives us possessions. Do we use those for good? Sometimes. Do we sometimes use those for our own purposes? Sometimes. That's not his intention. His intention, if we're a believer, is to use them for his purposes. Can we enjoy them? Absolutely. He calls us to enjoy them, but give him the credit for providing them, for being our source, for being our provider. If we're using for bad what could be for good, that's evil, he says. What about your attitude towards giving? If God told you to give up something, would you do that? Are you willing to give? Listen to Jesus in Luke 6, verse 38. Again, another familiar verse of Scripture. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. He doesn't say, hold on to everything that you have. No. He says, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Are you and I willing to give, if it truly belongs to God anyway, which should be our attitude as a believer, the things that we have in this life that God has given us that are good, those things belong to him. Are you and I willing to give those away? Or are we clutching on to them saying, no, if I give it away, he may not give me anything else? The attitude should be, he may give you something better. He may also give you nothing. But if I'm serving him, then it matters more what he thinks about the stuff than what I think or what I hold on to, what I clutch on to. He says here back in Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Those of you that have tried to have two bosses, you can't, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. He wants you to serve one person, and he needs to be that person. He says you will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You say, well, I'm just not going to choose. Sometimes neglecting is the same as choosing when it comes to the things of God. You cannot serve, Jesus said, God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon literally means here wealth and riches, but it is using it in a very negative connotation, context. He is talking about you can either serve God or you can serve the stuff of the world. Your choice, you get to choose. Am I going to serve God? And am I going to trust him with the things that he's blessed me with? But if he asks me to give them away or use them for some purpose different than my idea, am I willing to give those away? Or am I going to clutch on to them because I'm afraid I might lose them? Or am I just going to clutch on to everything and hold it close because God gave it to me and so I've got to hold on to it. I've got to build my wealth. I've got to make sure that when I'm dead that I leave all this stuff to those who come after me. And sometimes all that stuff that you built up that is very important to you, your kids come in, look at it and go, we don't want any of that. You know, if you were there, you go, wait a minute. That's important to me. This is our life. These are your memories. We don't care. We've got our own. They don't want all your stuff. But we think we want all of that stuff. What do we do with that? So how's your eyesight? What is your focus? As many of you know, in 2015, I had a kidney transplant. After that kidney transplant, the doctors would come around and check on me in the hospital. Ask me a million different questions. What about this? How about that? How do you feel about this? All those different things. So one day I asked them, I said, how come my eyesight got better? I said, it didn't get better. I said, yes, it did. It's my eyes. I know that it's better. Because before the kidney transplant took place, I would often have to use readers if the light was not good. And there are still occasions when I have to do that, but it was something I was having to do more and more as I got closer to 50. People are like, that's just the way it is. Your eyesight gets bad. I promise you, after the surgery, I could look at things that I could not have read before, and even today would not have been able to read 7 years ago, and I don't need readers or magnification to read them. I've asked all of my doctors, what's the deal? And I'm go, that had nothing to do with the kidney transplant. The only thing you did to me in the hospital was replace that bad kidney with a good one. It had to have done something. And to me, it did. It made my eyesight better. I don't know how. The doctors don't have an explanation. I don't care. But my eyesight is now better because of what happened inside my body, and it has impacted the rest of me because I don't have to carry glasses around with me. It's a blessing. So how do you check your eyesight? How do you check your focus? Let me give you four questions to ask yourself. Talking about focusing on the things of God. Number one, do you cling more to things, possessions, or to the things of God? Which one do you cling more to? Do you care more about your earthly possessions, or do you care more about eternal value? Do you focus on the stuff that you have or that you don't have, that you think somehow your life will be better if you have more stuff? Or do you focus on the things of God? Again, it's not wrong to have things, but if I'm holding too tightly onto those, then that's where my treasure is. When my focus, my treasure should be in the things of God, that eternal things that only can last for eternity. The earthly stuff only takes place here. Number two, have you applied biblical principles to owning? God doesn't say it's wrong to own anything. He doesn't say it's wrong to have a bunch of stuff, earthly possessions. But what are you doing with it? Are you being a good steward of what God has provided? Or is your attitude towards the stuff, I need more so I can be happy? And I don't have what I need, so I'm going to go accomplish that. I'm going to get it. You may earn it, But is it more about the stuff, or have you applied biblical principles to owning? Are you up to your eyeballs in debt so you can live to the life standard that you think you should live to? Is that what God intends for you to do, to be up to your eyeballs in debt so you can have stuff that somebody's got to pay for someday? Number three, are you willing to give? Do you have the attitude of giving? If God asks you to give something, can you do that? If God tells you to give money to somebody or to a group or to help somebody in need, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give your time and your efforts, your talents, your abilities, whatever God would ask of you? What if he asks you to give up some of your stuff, things that you value? Would you be willing to give it up for him? Number four, will you or have you ever asked God for help in this area? He's our helper. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our helper, our counselor. He will help us, but how many of us ask him for help? God, help me focus on eternal things more than the earthly stuff. Again, it's not wrong to have earthly things, but are you taking good care of those things that God has blessed you with? Or is your attitude, well, that when that burns up, I'll just get another one? Are we taking care of what God has provided for us? God is our source. Christ is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our strength. If we're believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a relationship with God through Jesus that lasts for eternity, then God is our source. Christ is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our strength. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for all the many things, the earthly possessions that you have blessed us with. But Father, help us not take you or the things for granted. Help us not clutch onto them, but help us to be willing to focus on the eternal things that value, that we should value even more than the earthly things. But Father, sometimes that's hard because we're here right now. We're not in eternity. We're here on this earth where stuff does decay, where stuff does fall apart, where things that we value somehow lose their value, maybe just in our heart. So, Father, we need your help with all of that. Thank you again for allowing us to have possessions, but help us to have the right attitude towards those. And again, Father, help us to value eternal things more than we value the earthly things. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.